Good morning. Oh, maybe not turn. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. As we meet together here in the building or online, as the family of God in this place, let's come together to encourage one another, to worship our amazing God together, to speak with him, to learn from his word, and to hear about what God has to say to us and what he's been doing both close to home and further afield. I'm sure most of you know me, but I'm Grace. I'm a member here. I'm a little bit more comfortable standing at those microphones, so bear with me this morning. Ben is in Knock Presbyterian this morning as part of their anniversary services. So you're going to be hearing a couple of times from me and also from a few other people who are going to tell us a little bit about what's coming up over the summer. So as we begin, let's take a moment to pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we love you and we delight to come together as your people to worship you. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us here this morning. Please clear our minds of the things that distract us and soften our hearts to hear your words. Help us this morning to offer you the praise and honour that is due to your name. Amen. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, the writer encourages us to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So as we start our service this morning, that's what we're going to do. As we join together in song, as we lift our voices in praise, we're going to sing two songs that remind us of what God has done and continues to do for us and that call us to praise. The first one is an old song, "You Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim," and then a newer one, "Oh, Praise the Name."
Publish abroad his wonders.
Thank you. A couple of months ago, I stood up here one Sunday morning with Ben and talked about a trip that I was about to go on for a few weeks. And at Easter time, I headed off to Senegal. Senegal is a country in West Africa. You can see this little blue dot over the top of Senegal on the map there. And I went there to work with an organisation called Mercy Ships on a boat, which is essentially a floating hospital, to work as an anaesthetist. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that this morning. So first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody who kept up to date with what I was doing while I was away, who prayed for me. Thank you all for that. It was very much appreciated. I had an absolutely amazing time, as you might expect. I met a lot of interesting people. I got to practice my very, very rusty French and learn a little bit of Wolof, which is one of the local Senegalese languages. And I've got lots and lots and lots of stories that I could tell you. And hopefully after the summer, I might have the opportunity to do that in a little bit more detail some Sunday evening. But for this morning, I want to tell you about two people that I met that had something in common. And I wonder, boys and girls, if you can guess what they had in common. I've got a few things here to show you, see if you can guess what they might have had in common. So, first of all, got some bubbles. Anybody guess what they've got in common? No? Okay, I've got a cupcake, which probably won't balance there. Any guesses? Yeah? They had a party, they did. So that's one of the things they had in common. I have to think about what kind of a party did they have. So this might help you. I don't know if you can see that. What kind of a party did they have? Yeah, a birthday party, absolutely. So they had a birthday party. Now, what else do you need if you're going to have a birthday party? Balloons. Absolutely. Got lots up there, actually. What else do you need? Yeah. Cake. Well, I only have a little tiny one. We're just going to have to go with that one. Yeah. Anything else? Holly. Food. I didn't bring lots of food, sorry. Sorry to disappoint you. Yeah, anything else? Friends, absolutely. You need some friends, yeah. Anything else? What do you, if you're going to a birthday party, what do you take with you? Yeah. Presents. And what usually comes with a present? Yeah, a card. Very good. I think that might exhaust everything I've got. So, birthday cards and birthday presents. So these two people had something in common. And we've got up on the screen there. We'll come back to the birthday presents in a minute. We've got on the screen there, we've got a picture of the first one of them. This is Gary. You can see him there. Go back a slide there, Gavin, sorry. And his 70th birthday party. And Gary is a lovely man. You would really like him if you met him. And we had a party for him with some balloons and some cake and some singing and some friends and a big birthday card that everybody had signed. So why would you have your 70th birthday party on a ship in Senegal? Well, Mercy Ships, which is the ship, is made up of lots and lots of people from all over the world. And some of them go and live and work there for a few weeks, like I did. Some go for a few months. Some even go for a few years. But Gary is pretty unique. He has been there for 35 years. So if you ask him where he's from, he's originally from America, but he says, no, I'm from the ship. I've been here for so long. And he has lived and worked on the ship with his wife, Susan, and actually their children as they were growing up as well for 35 years. And Gary's job is, he's one of the doctors, he's one of the surgeons, and he operates on people's faces and necks. He's a maxillofacial surgeon. And he has travelled over the last 35 years to lots and lots of countries in Africa with the ship, providing thousands of operations for people that need them. Here in Northern Ireland, if you are unwell, if you're sick, you can find a doctor or a nurse or a pharmacist, somebody to give you the advice and the help that you need relatively easy and relatively quickly. And if you need an operation, you can have it. You might have to wait a little while, but you'll get it. And when you leave hospital, you don't get a big bill to pay for your treatment. But that's not the same all over the world, and it's certainly not the same in many countries in Africa and in Senegal. And Gary is part of this big team of people who go and help people to access doctors and nurses and healthcare when they need it. So that brings us to our second birthday person. This is Siri, and Siri is 20, and he's from Senegal. And I'll come to his birthday in a wee minute, but when Siri was 15, he noticed that one side of his face was starting to swell up. And it was because of a problem with the bit of your face that makes the saliva that's in your mouth. And it started off small, but it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you can see in that photograph the swelling on the side of his face. And it was, initially it wasn't sore, and then it did eventually become sore. But more than that, Siri said that it made him feel really self-conscious and shy. It made him not want to see and spend time with other people. He said every time he looked at it, or every time anybody else looked at him, he was conscious that they were looking at this swelling on his face. And he said it wasn't beautiful. Nobody would want it on their face. And Siri needed an operation, relatively straightforward operation, to remove this swelling from his face. But his parents didn't have enough money to pay for the operation in Senegal, even if they could have found a surgeon who was able to do it. I'm not exactly sure, but I reckon it probably would have cost about 6 months' wages for a teacher to pay for this kind of operation. But his parents would have saved and saved and saved for years and probably still not been able to afford it. But when Siri's dad heard that Mercy ships were coming to Senegal, he was really excited. And they travelled for 7 or 8 hours to get to the ship to find out whether or not he could have this operation. And when he got there, he was told, yes, you can have an operation to take this swelling off your face and you won't have to pay for it. It'll be free. So the date of Siri's operation is not one that he's ever likely to forget because it ended up being his 20th birthday. So Siri's birthday party looked a little bit different from Gary's, I have to say. It started off in a hospital gown, going to theatre to have an operation to have this removed from his face. And I imagine if somebody gave you a birthday present and you opened it up and inside you found some Calpol or some paracetamol and a big bandage to put around your face, you might be a little bit bemused. You might be thinking, that's not quite the present I had signed up for today. But for Siri, he was delighted that this was his birthday present. And he said afterwards, after he'd had his party in the ward with the nurses, he said, I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to visit my family and my friends so that they can see the change. And he said something really interesting, not just that they could see the change in his face, but that they could see the change in his eyes, because he wasn't going to feel shy or embarrassed to be around people anymore. He was really looking forward to getting back to meeting people. And he did get a party afterwards. We had a wee party on the ward with plenty of people singing happy birthday, except they didn't sing happy birthday because Siri wouldn't have known what happy birthday meant. He didn't speak English. They were singing to him in Wolof, his language, Bespodelisi Monet, happy birthday to you. Mercy Ships and the people who volunteer, like Gary and like all of the short-term people who go, and people who I met and I worked with, bring free surgery to people who wouldn't otherwise have access to it. But more importantly, they work together as a community to show the patients and their families and the local community the love of Jesus. And Mercy Ships' tagline or motto, I suppose, is to bring hope and healing. And they do that. They change people's lives and they bring Jesus' love and hope and healing into their lives. And it was very much a privilege and a joy to get to be part of that and to be able to share a little bit of it with you this morning. Before the kids go out to the art, we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing a song that reminds us to keep following God and to keep praising him. And it's got lots of actions. So if I do the actions, will you promise to do them with me? Yeah, okay, good. It's called I'm Gonna Jump Up and Down, I'm Gonna Spin Right Around, I'm Gonna Praise Your Name Forever. So as I said, Ben is away in Knock this morning with the rest of the Walker family, but he has given me a long list of announcements to read. So here we go. As you may know, yesterday the church was full of lots of people from the Belfast Friendship Festival, which was happening to welcome people who have come here, especially from Hong Kong. And thank you very much to everybody who was here or who helped out. I gather there were 300 and something people here. So that was great. Don't forget, Ian and other group people are climbing Slieve Croob after the service this morning in support of Christian Aid. It's not too late to join them, and certainly not too late to sponsor and support them. If you need to, you can get directions from Ian after the service, and they're meeting at the Slieve Croob car park at 1:30. We're delighted that our 2021 annual review is ready and printed and available. 2021 might seem like a long time ago, but it's good to reflect on how God is continually good. So thank you to Alistair, to Derek, to our fab designer Chris Thompson, and to everybody who will be who has contributed to producing this. If you haven't already been handed it this morning, your copy with your name on it is available in the hub on your way out. Once people have generally collected them, any that are left over will be delivered by the elders and committee members over the next few weeks. If anybody is expecting Bible reading notes, they're also available in the hub as well. So this Thursday, 23rd, there is a thank you barbecue for anyone and everyone who leads or helps in any way with our children's and youth work. So do sign up for that and come along, and if you need any more details, speak to Johnny Bell about that. This coming week is the General Assembly from Wednesday evening until Saturday, and Ben and Alistair will be our representatives at that. But anyone is welcome to go, and you can read about it, read the reports, listen to the live stream online at presbyterianireland.org. And Ben has said, watch out for him in his robes at the opening ceremony on Wednesday night. But you can also come or watch Thursday evening celebration, which has got some worship from New Irish, and Peter Linus from Evangelical Alliance will be speaking. That's obviously a lot going on this week, so there's not going to be any prayer meeting here, but please do pray for the General Assembly and all of its discussions and decisions this week. Ben mentioned last week that coming up next week, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity is holding an event in Belfast. So this is an organisation whose resources we've used in the past in thinking about whole life discipleship. What they are ties in really, really well with what we've been doing and what we're thinking about and reflecting on later on this morning. And they're doing a tour around the UK and coming to Belfast to Riddle Hall on the Stramillis Road on the 30th of June. And we're going to watch a short video explaining who they are and what they're going to be doing.
Hello, my name is Paul Woolley and I'm the CEO at LICC. Imagine if every Christian lived their life as Jesus would live it if he were them. Imagine the difference that would make in the different spaces and places Christians show up. It would change cities, it would change the UK, it would change the world. That's what LICC is all about. It's 40 years since we were founded, and this whole life disciple-making mission is as important as ever. So in the year ahead, as we emerge out of the pandemic, we're on tour. We'll be in a city near you, and we'd love you to join us one evening to hear more about how this whole life vision can transform the way we see our daily lives and work, and how we might partner together to make a difference at this pivotal moment in our culture. The evening events will begin with refreshments. After that, we'll share stories, research, videos, and music that capture the essence of what we do and how we might get alongside you as you seek to be authentic disciples of Jesus in your everyday life. In the coming months, we'll be in London, Swindon, Glasgow, Nottingham, Belfast, Cardiff, Salford, and Bristol, with plenty more locations and dates to be announced shortly. Everyone is invited, whether you've been involved with LICC for decades or you've only just heard about us. You can register your free place now by going to the website licc.org.uk/40cities. We're really excited about what's in store, and it would be great to see you.
So that's on the 30th of June. You might like to register online and go along. I know Ben said he's going. And we're really pleased that Paul Woolley, who is part of LICC, is coming to speak here on Sunday, the 3rd of January. But Ben says he's talking about something different, so it's worth going to both. So really pleased this morning to be able to bring you some good church family news. Joanne and David Wardlow are delighted to welcome Samuel David, who arrived at 4:02 this morning, and all doing well so far. So congratulations to the Wardlows. Next week, we're looking forward to having the baptism of baby Henry Withers, and also joining in communion together once again before the summer begins. So please plan to be there for that. And tea and coffee are starting again after the service this morning in the coffee bar in the hub. And please feel free to stay and join with us as we do that. In a moment, Jordan's going to come. I can't actually see. Something's here. Is going to come and read some verses from the Bible. And after that, we're going to hear a little bit about a number of things that are going to be happening over the summer. Things to be excited about, to engage with, and to pray for. First, we've got a video from Daniel McKnight, who can't be here today, telling us about Summer Serve that's happening from the 6th to the 8th of July. We're going to have to wait until next week to hear from James and Caitlin about the Exodus team that's going on. Ben's taking James with him to Knock this morning. And then we're delighted that Stephen Patterson, who heads up Newton Racism, along with Judith Thompson, is going to fill us in on how that's shaping up. And then Eleanor Timothy is briefly going to tell us a little bit about the Summer Cafe and the chance for all ages to come and enjoy and learn together some Fridays during July and August. So we'll start with Jordan's reading.
The first reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the second reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12, 17, 23. And 24. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen.
Good morning, all. I hope you're well, and apologies for not being able to be with you in person this morning. I have been asked to share about a new program that Johnny and I have been working on. It will take place at the beginning of summer, and it is called Summer Serve. The dates for Summer Serve are the 6th to the 8th of July. Our leadership team will be made up of our youth discipleship group, and we are hoping that it will give them an opportunity to grow in leadership, get them on fire for Jesus at the beginning of summer, and get them serving in our community with our young people as well, just like Jesus once did. A day of Summer Serve will begin at 2 p.m. with some banter, a Bible study, and some time for prayer. We will then move into a time of serving, doing a mix of home visits, work around the church and in our community. We will then return back to the church for some food and set up for our Bible club that we will be running in the evening for our P4s to P6s. This will consist of games, Bible stories, quizzes, crafts, and so much more. We're very excited to get started, so please pray that everything will run smoothly. Please also pray for our young leaders that this will be a great opportunity for them to grow in their faith and leadership skills, and pray for the children involved, that they will have a week to remember at the start of summer, learning lots about our Lord and Saviour. Thank you very much, and God bless.
I wonder if Daniel's out in the car park there. I don't know, is that a live feed, is it? It's great. It's like accepting an Oscar there. Can't be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Ben's asked me just to give you an update on Schism this year. So just from the start, thank you so much for all the members of the church in terms of what you give to Schism. And I know it's a big part of the year for all the four churches. See, Ross has been doing a great job for us over the past couple of years, so big thank you to him. And Derek's always very good at organising and allowing us to use the facilities and the great facilities here. So thank you all for everything you do. It is the four churches which we work together, but we come under the umbrella of Scripture Union, and we want to tell children, young people and families just about Jesus. So yes, we have lots of fun, but that's our main kind of aim for Schism. And it's part of a bigger picture as well. So we have 20 other camps, or SU have 20 other camps around the country too. We probably have our camps on missions, so probably about 40 in all. Camps are obviously residential, and thankfully they're able to run again this year after the past 2 years. So most schisms do happen on beaches. Unfortunately, we don't have a beach in Newton Beauty yet, but hopefully that's something we would like to do. So you can pray about that. Just in terms of some sort of key dates, so Schism doesn't happen at the end of July. The recruitment process starts around January time, and then we have team meetings April, May, and June. So the team have been meeting and praying and discussing, and we've been trying to navigate, like everyone, I suppose, in this world, changes and restrictions and things like that. So last year it was very restricted, the Schism. This year, we're hoping to open up a bit more. We are meeting tomorrow night as a team, and there's 43 on team this year. This year was probably the hardest I've found, so I've been back about 5 years after Neil and Helen stepped down, but it's great to have them both back, actually, this year. This is probably the hardest year in terms of recruitment, and that's not to make anyone feel guilty. That's just in terms of life. So people have got married, maybe had families, or job situations have changed, or people have graduated and things like that. But I suppose I'd really encourage you to pray about next year and think about that. With 43, it's amazing to have those 43 people, but that unfortunately restricts the number of children and young people who can come to our sessions, which I'll mention in a couple of minutes. I'm not going to speak that long. Sorry. So the other sort of key date there you'll see, I'll not read through them all, is the family fun night. So it's something, again, we want to encourage families to come. So what I found over the past couple of years as well is, yes, it's great for the children and young people, but as someone who's getting a bit older, I'm starting to connect to people who maybe went to Schism years ago, and they maybe have stopped going to church, but they're sending their kids to Schism, or they're sending their grandkids to Schism. So it's really class that we can kind of encourage families to come out. I've put to be confirmed on that. We still don't know what to do just with the current situation in this country, and not politically, just with health wise and stuff, and also. But that's something just to pray about. And again, we'll be talking about that as a team tomorrow night. But really encourage you to pray for us, just for wisdom and discernment, and knowing what to do. Should we do a family fun event? We'd love to, but we just want to be wise with that. What actually goes on in Schism? So this is something you can pray about, and might hopefully doesn't put you off if you're wanting to join up next year. It is a full-on day, but we really want to invest in the team members. So yes, we're there for the children and young people and families, but we like to top and tail it with devotions. And so we'd meet early in the morning, and we'd pray around God's word. We normally unpack the text or the Bible story for that day and say, well, what's God saying to us as a team, and then what does God want us to say to the children and young people? And then three of the evenings, then we'll normally do team devotions, and it's just good to come together and pray and thank God for the day. So that is a daily schedule. Just on that, part of a big need for Schism is for food and for donations. So if you would be generous to do that, we have in each of the churches, we have a key contact. So is Marty Hamilton here today? No, she's not. Okay, well, just a big thanks for her. So she's your point person coordinator. So if you want to give Marty Hamilton any food or any donations to go towards the team, that would be absolutely fantastic. And another sort of key area around that as well is, in each of the four venues, we'd like to have a cafe. Now, we used to just have one cafe. So like say parents and toddlers could come along maybe to the younger kids sections and just rather than, you know, leave, they would stay and chat. This year, again, just because of COVID and then the four ministers were chatting and thought each venue actually have the resources and the facilities to have their own cafe. So for St. Field Road here, a great wee hub area. If you would like to be involved in that, we want the SISM team members to be involved in the children and youth work. But if you're thinking, well, I can't do all day, this is far too long, but I could come maybe at 11 o'clock or at 3 o'clock or at 7 o'clock and do half an hour or an hour of just serving tea or coffee. That's something to talk to Marty about as well, and to say, look, and we want the church and the congregation to just to be able to run that for themselves. So we'll be here in St. Field Road. So that's something new this year and something hopefully will be a success. So in terms of registration, just a key sort of update then, good news and bad news. Good news in the sense that registration opened and it's all online. Again, this year moving down this route and we want to have all the details. So it is open, but it's kind of closed. So hoppers are nearly full in terms of the capacity. So we can have up to 70 hoppers just with the number of leaders we have this year. So there is still some space for the hopper section. Kids section is closed. But what we're trying to think about is maybe shuffling the team a bit more. So again, we'll be talking and praying about that tomorrow night, so please pray for that. But there's lots of space in Revo, so we've kind of found maybe it's because teenagers couldn't be bothered signing up, or they haven't, you know, maybe they don't want their parents involved or whatever. So, and some more revolution, just kind of walk in when they want, teenagers. What do you think? So in terms of the three sections then, so hoppers then, again, this is subject to change, but it's if they've finished P1 or finished P3. So originally they were going to be Knockbreed it. We might have to move that just with numbers because they're hitting going to be hitting 70 or 80. But that, there's two session times for that as well. The next one, kids, then hopefully are meeting here. So great facilities here. I mean, obviously when I went to SISM as a kid, everyone was in St. Field Road and it was fantastic. We just thought about toilets are an issue, parking's an issue, and traffic. So the ministers have said, and this is not a criticism of your church in any way, shape, or form, but it's just in terms of what's best and safest for each church to be involved in that. And then Revolution, again, subject to change. They have met in the Baptist Church and Breda Academy over the past couple of years, but we might move it either to Kearns Hill or Knockbreed Parish just because it's a wee bit smaller, a wee bit more compact. And it's been great to have Kearns Hill involved again this year. So they have two ministers, the Reverend Tanita Lee and the Reverend John Alderdice are looking after Kearns Hill Methodist now. And they've both been very proactive this year. So that's a big answer to prayer, getting involved. So we had a great community prayer meeting last Wednesday night at Kearns Hill, and they hosted. And different members of the four churches came there, but they're wanting to host the commissioning service this year and just be a wee bit more involved. So that's definitely a big highlight to prayer. So that's just an update on SISM, things to pray for there, which I've mentioned. And again, I know there's key members here as well in terms of leaders and stuff. So please talk to them if you have any ideas or any comments, and they can filter that back to me. So thank you for the time. Thanks, Kate.
I'm sure some of you have been missing Friday Cafe. Well, this summer we plan to have four summer cafe mornings, two Fridays in July and two in August. So it'll be a relaxed morning where you can come and enjoy a cuppa, some sweet treats, and which may include Rob's famous flapjacks. Come in and chat, and if nice, spend time in the garden. So hopefully it'll help us keep connected. So we'd love you to drop in as a family, or just come bring a friend. Anyone and everyone is welcome. So I've got some flyers, and they're out in the hub. So just to remind you of the dates. Starting on July the 1st. So look forward to seeing you there. That'll be lovely. Okay.
Thank you to Daniel and Stephen and Eleanor for those bits. One of the things that I had the opportunity to do while I was in Senegal, alongside giving some anaesthetics and going to a few birthday parties, was to go to and to share at the weekly hospital team devotions. And I'm going to share some of the thoughts that I shared there with you this morning. But before I do that, let's pray together. Lord, this morning we ask that you would teach us from your word what you want each of us individually to hear, that we might know and love you more and serve you in your world today. Amen. I want you to think this morning about your hands. We've all got them. Most of us have got two of them. We often take them for granted unless we can't use them for some reason. We use them every day for a whole host of really ordinary, mundane tasks. If you think, you could probably count 15, 20, maybe more things you've done with your hands this morning already. Sometimes we use them for more complicated, intricate tasks. We can use them to express ourselves. We can use them to be creative. In our family, we use them to talk. We can use our hands for good things. And unfortunately, sometimes we use them for bad as well. Do we use our hands to serve God? I want us to think for a few moments this morning about, first of all, how the Bible tells us that God uses his hands, and then about how he calls us to use ours in response. So I wonder what comes to your mind when I say, what does God do with his hands? I've got four things that I think the Bible tells us that God does with his hands. The first is that he made us. He has created us. It says in Psalm 139, "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Now, I'm not much of a knitter, but I know that it can be really intricate work. And this picture gives us an idea of how God has made us. We're handmade by God, not off an assembly line, but individually handcrafted with infinite care by the ultimate artisan. So God made us with his hands. And God has rescued and saved us with his hand. In Psalm 18, David says, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." When we couldn't do anything to save ourselves, God reached down to rescue us. And more than that, he came down himself and stretched out his hands as he died for us. When we do actions or when we sign, the sign for Jesus reminds us of that, of the nail prints in his hands. God rescues us and saves us by his hands. And God holds on to us. He upholds, he protects, he sustains us. Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God doesn't leave us to our own devices. He's with us each and every day, giving us his strength and his protection, holding us fast in his hands. And as the kids' song reminds us, he's got the whole world in his hands, and that includes each and every one of us. God holds on to us with his hands. But God also wants to mold us and to shape us and to change us, continually to make us more like Jesus. This verse from Isaiah 64 says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands." God's moulding and shaping of us will not always be a comfortable process, but it's an important one. It's part of our ongoing discipling and learning from him. It's a lifelong process, and one that we can be really thankful that God will not give up on. In Philippians 1, Paul says that he's confident that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God wants to mould us and shape us, and work in our lives. The first bit that Jordan read for us a little bit earlier on was from Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace that you have been saved, not through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God made us. He rescued us. He holds on to us and he molds us in our lives. We are the work of God's hands, his handiwork, and he has a purpose for our lives. So what is that purpose? What has God called us to do with our hands in our lives for him? Well, we've already been doing the first one of these this morning, lifting our hands and our voices in praise. That might have been literal as we did the actions to the song earlier on. It might have been a little bit metaphorical. We are Presbyterians, after all. But I think there's something really helpful and useful about that picture of opening our hands in surrender and vulnerability and dependence on God as we praise him, and acknowledging with our hands and with our bodies who it is that we are praising and worshipping. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. We're called to praise and to worship God. And we're also called to serve him. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And in the verses that Jordan read for us from Colossians 3, Paul gives instructions or guidance on living as those made alive in Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, and in love. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all through the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you are serving. One of the big take-home things that I think I learnt in my time in Senegal, because it was just so evident in the people around me, was that every little thing that you do is important and can be done to the glory of God. That both the complicated, intricate work that people like Gary do in the operating room are part of service to God, but also all of the other things too. The work of Mercy Ships is dependent just as much, if not more, on all the people doing all the other things to make that community work and run and to provide for the needs of the crew and the needs of the patient. Everything we do can be done in service to God. And that may be true in Senegal on a ship, but it's also true here in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our church. Whatever your hand finds to do it as work for the Lord. So as you look at your hands today, let them be a reminder of what God has done for us and continues to do in us, and how he calls us to respond. That won't be the same for each one of us. And sometimes our service for God is obvious, and other times it's a little bit more subtle. But as Paul reminds us in Colossians, we do it for God. And as his followers, we live and work in and do whatever we do in his name. And hands tell us something else as well. Each of us is unique. Our fingerprints remind us of that. Only you can do the work that God has planned for you today. Only I can do the work that God has planned for me today. And all of it is equally important. As I finish, I want to use the words of a Keith Getty Stuart Townend song as a prayer. So let's pray together. Before you we kneel, our Master and Maker, establish the work of our hands, and order our steps to seek first your kingdom in every small and great task. May we live the gospel of your grace, serve your purpose in our fleeting days. Then our lives will bring eternal praise and all glory to your great name. Amen. I'm going to watch a video now, which is from YouTube, which is a Stephen Curtis Chapman song, which is based on that idea from Colossians 3, that everything we do for the glory of God. For those of you who are watching online, you'll probably be able to see the pictures, but for copyright reasons, not be able to hear the song. But if you want to look it up, it's called Do Everything by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
There's a thought, isn't it? Everything you do, we do and tell the story of grace as we do it. As we come to pray, there have been lots of thoughts that have gone through our minds. We've been introduced to people. We've heard of things they're going to do. What are we going to do with those thoughts? How are they going to impact on us just now? Well, hopefully as we come to pray, we'll take those thoughts and God will move them in our mind and draw our attention to the things that he wants us to know and to do and to think about. So as we come to pray, we're going to take some time to remember those things that we've been hearing about and some things that are connected to that. And we want to remember the fact that our church and General Assembly are going to be meeting this week. Ben will be there. Gordon will be there. Alistair McCracken, as our representative, will be there. Alistair will not be there. Alistair will be having some surgery this week, so we'll remember him. We want to remember the world that comes into our living room when we watch the television. Pray for those who take responsibility in the public square. So as we pray, we'll leave some silence as we go to allow time for you to take those thoughts and to, in your head, speak the words that God wants you to speak. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, we come to you this morning. You are the God who has made us. You made us uniquely with things that you want us to do. The work that is the work of our hands, the work of the opportunities that come before us. Lord, as we come today, I just want to pray for some of those things that we've been listening and hearing about. So we pray for summer serve, pray for the young folks who will be meeting soon with primary school children. Lord, we pray for the programs that they are planning. Lord, we pray for safety as they work through those. We pray for all of those young leaders who come together, that they will grow as they learn some new skills. They'll grow as they begin to depend on you, and their faith will grow. And we pray for the children who will come and experience that, that there will be memorable things that help them to begin and to move along their journey with Jesus. And as we think about summer serve and those opportunities, we think of others who are doing similar sorts of opportunities and services who are connected here with us in St. Fidd Road. So we pray for Johnny and the YFC team as they prepare for Summer Madness. For all those folks, Father, we pray that they will have energy and enthusiasm. Lord, we think especially of CSSM that will be happening here and in the churches around us. So we pray for Steve and for Judith. We pray for the leaders and the team members. We pray for those who need to still come in and join that team. But we pray, Lord, that you would give them a sense of unity and belonging together, that you will draw them close to each other. We pray for the preparations that they are making now and that they will make over the next number of weeks. Lord, we pray that they will be faithful as they read your word, as they think about the message, as they prepare resources. We pray for the children who will come, the children who will come and enjoy time spent together. And we pray for the message that they will hear. Lord, we just think too of the cafe and the parents' opportunities to meet together. That will be a useful time. And as we think of CSSM and Scripture Union, we just remember the summer camps that are happening and the missions across not only our island but across the world. There will be opportunities. So we commit that work of scripture union to you. Lord, we pray for the opportunities that we have here to have summer cafe, opportunities to show hospitality, to have a place to meet together, to gather, to talk, to find company and community. And Lord, as we think of our church family, we pray for those who are in particular need. We pray for those who need comfort, for those who need healing, for those who need encouragement. So we pray for Ruth. Pray that you would be with her in these next weeks and months, that you would give her some comfort and ease. Pray for Alistair and for Angela, for the anxiety that they might feel, but we pray for your grace to surround them, that they will have confidence in you. And we pray for new life. We thank you for Samuel David Wardlow. Lord, we pray for Joanne and for David. And we ask that you would be with them. And Lord, we pray for others now in the silence that you that are known to us in our church family who need your care and support. Lord, we thank you for your care for us, and we commit to you those that we know are in need of your help in special ways. And Lord, we just pray to you for the opportunities for service that you give us. We thank you for Mercy Ship, for Mercy Africa, and for the gifts of hope and healing that they bring. We pray for them now as we meet here this morning, that hospital ship is working and functioning. We pray for all those who have brought a whole variety of gifts to make that happen. We thank you for the skills that they have. We thank you for the commitments that they have made. And we pray for the people who come onto that ship to receive that gift, that they will be touched by the grace of Jesus in their lives, that they will be introduced to him and to life with him, and they will see it in the actions of those who work with them and for them. And as we think of that, then we pray for ourselves, that we too, in the things that we do today and in the days ahead and in the weeks ahead, that each of the things that we do, no matter how big or small they might be, we will do them with a purpose that you might be seen in the grace that is in our lives, so that everything that we do for you. And we commit to you our time and our energy and our insights and all the gifts that you have given us. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that will be presented to us over the summer months. We thank you for the young people and others who are participating in that. We commit them to your keeping. We ask you to bless them and bless the work of spreading the good news of Jesus here and in other parts of the world. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. As we come to the end of our service this morning, we're going to sing again, O Lord, my Rock and my Redeemer, a song that reminds us again of what God has done for us, but it finishes off by reminding us that we want to do everything for the glory of God.
So just before we come to sing this morning, I was wondering if you'd be able to join me at the end in a bit of a response. So I appreciate that, Ivy, like Gav, you're probably thinking, oh dear, she's gone a bit rogue, what's about to happen? But I promise you don't need to do anything. But I was wondering, just maybe after we sing this song, you could join me in just a few like choruses of He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, as we've been thinking about, and as a bit of a response to what we've heard this morning. And if you feel comfortable, open your hands, and we'll just try it and see how it goes. So let's stand and sing together.
Oh,
Lord, we thank you that you hold each and every one of us and this whole world in your hands. And as we go today out into that world, we pray, Lord, that you would help us in everything we say and everything we do to bring glory to your name and to point people to you. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.